The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, February 15th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live and direct from beautiful Potland, Oregon, and joining us here, he's crawled back into the studio, our own Ganja John.
I'm back.
You're back. But I got to get the camera on you. You've been gone for so long, we haven't focused on you. Everybody was worried about you, John. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm just sick.
He's sick.
But I listened to yesterday's show, and I decided I need to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, if you listen to yesterday's show, you know for sure we need you here. You know, you're still on all sorts of drugs, though, for all the anti-rejection stuff. That
was actually why I got sick, is I accidentally took a morning dose twice.
Oh.
And so my immune system went, I'm not here anymore. And someone sneezed on me. And
the germ said, knock, knock. Yeah. And John's here.
Exactly.
Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is our own Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, guys. Welcome back, Ganja John.
Thank you.
How are you doing up there in Astoria, Carrie?
We're doing good. It's pretty stormy here. Is it stormy in Portland?
Yeah, it's been kind of, you know, gray with a continuing chance of wet. You know,
very windy.
That's our forecast here in Oregon from like September till April, so nothing surprising here. I know it's pouring like crazy out on the coast. You've built your ark yet?
Yeah, actually, I've put the cats in the living room in a little disc just in case.
good. Hey, we got all sorts of great stuff coming up on today's show. First, an announcement. Just got through the Twitter before we came online here. The Twitter. I'm old. Yeah. But Normal TV is on the air. You can check out Normal TV at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/normal. And they got this thing going on now. I should say we have this thing going on now where you can ask a question of Normal. You can do one of those video questions, and the first one's up. Somebody asked something of Keith Straub about what Normal's doing as far as decrim and legalization, and Keith Straub has responded, so you get the video with our founder, Keith. Check that out at youtube.com/normal. Also on today's show, it's Electric Tuesday, so Greg, Cannabis Cure UK, is going to be bringing us some music to trip to as we get our 420 on. Pam Lichty from Drug Policy Forum Hawaii is going to be joining us at 5:30 to talk about the new bills, the decriminalization and medical marijuana bills in the island state. And then at the end of the show, I've got a rant about President Obama's drug war budget, as I'm calling it, all hat, no cattle. But before we get to all of that, we do our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, we've got an update on the world's largest cannabis festival, also some new legislation that's being introduced into a couple of states that you need to know about, and a case in Washington where we're still trying to find out, are edibles marijuana or not?
Okay, we'll check all that out in our hemp headlines coming up next after this break. Also, stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll talk about a cop who called a suspect human waste. We'll get the latest on the alerts on legislation throughout this country, a new poll from The Economist, and another look at Normal TV. We're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
We told you earlier that the world's largest cannabis festival was looking for a new home this year. The Seattle Hemp Fest has been held at the Myrtle Edwards Waterfront Park in downtown Seattle since 1995. The event is huge, drawing well over 100,000 attendees to the two-day event. But this year, construction at the park has caused HempFest organizers to shop for a new location this year to hold this very important event for the cannabis community. Planned summer construction to the Sky Bridge at Myrtle Edwards Park would make it almost impossible for the attendees to enter the park. One space they were considering was the Seattle Center, the home of the famed Space Needle. The Seattle HempFest committee was busy working on scheduling and working out the details needed to pull off an event of this magnitude when they found out that they would not be able to secure the venue until 2013 due to the Seattle Center's representatives' pre-existing reservations for some of the facilities as well as some planned construction there that would have made the space unsuitable this year. Organizers had worked on securing that venue for months. This year is Seattle Hemp Fest's 20th year anniversary, and now with only 6 months left to plan and produce the event, organizers say they are fighting for its very existence this year. With no secured venue and no definite date set yet for this year, event organizer Vivian McPeak has let his supporters know that he has filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court against the City of Seattle. In a news release, he wrote, quote, "It is with heavy hearts that we take this action against the city that we love," unquote. The suit is also against the mayor of Seattle, the director of the Seattle Department of Transportation, the director of the Seattle Center, and the chairperson of the Seattle Special Events Committee. The suit seeks the relief under the U.S. Constitution and the Washington State Constitution to obtain a 2011 permit. It asks the city to issue an appropriate permit for the Seattle Hemp Fest in August of 2011, and if necessary, to move the construction of the West Thomas Overpass project so it does not interfere with the August event. He said that although they are very excited about the prospect of a new footbridge into Myrtle Edwards Park, but they were originally told by the city that the project would not impact their event, only to be told suddenly that the event must be moved up to June or they have to find another place. He stresses that they are actively seeking another venue that would be adequate, but they are running out of time to plan such a large festival with all of the grassroots volunteers to organize and safety and security details to work out. McPeak also added that he hopes the city can help them find a workable resolution so they can get back to producing the event. Now, you can visit HempFest.org for updates on their progress or to donate to help them produce the event this year.
Well, you know, this event is huge. Like, we brought to you some coverage for the past couple of years. You've seen it on our show. Ganja John went with us last year, and you got to admit, it's one of the biggest things you've ever been to, huh?
Yeah, it was crazy. I was still on dialysis then. It took me like 5 days to recover.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy.
It was pretty crazy, and this is such a shame, too, because Seattle Hemp Fest has done everything right in this scenario. They went to the Seattle Special Events Center, their application. They put their application in November of 2010 for an event in August of 2011. So that's like, you know, 10 months of planning ahead, and it's earlier than they've ever turned it in. But then this whole West Thomas Overpass project is threatening to get it canceled. They just need to move the construction. That's what they need to do. You know, when something's been happening at the same park since 1995 and is drawing over 100,000 people to your city, and not just one day, 2 days, you know, 100,000 people each time, the amount of money that's coming into the city of Seattle, those downtown hotels, all those vendors, all those restaurants, you don't want to just scoff at that money. But no, you want to take taxpayer money to do a construction project at exactly the time that's going to lead to the, that's going to kill a lot of your tourism economy from the Hemp Fest. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It sounds like, you know, your priorities are a little bit misplaced here. Move the construction, allow Seattle Hemp Fest to occur when it's supposed to occur. That is, of course, if you didn't have any other ulterior motives in planning that overpass project.
The state of Kansas has reintroduced House Bill 2330, otherwise known as the Cannabis Compassion and Care Act. It is a measure to enact a medical marijuana law in the state of Kansas and very similar to a proposal for a medical marijuana law in the state during 2010 legislative session. The bill would ensure that medical marijuana patients in Kansas do not have to fear prosecution and arrest for using medical marijuana under a doctor's care. House Bill 2330 would allow qualified patients diagnosed with a debilitating medical condition to possess up to 12 cannabis plants, as many as 12 seedlings, and or 6 ounces of usable marijuana for therapeutic purposes. The bill would also establish nonprofit compassion centers to distribute medical marijuana to patients. According to a 2010 statewide poll, 60% of Kansas voters approve and support the measure. Kansas citizens who are seriously ill deserve the same protections as the citizens of the other 15 states who have enacted medical marijuana laws, despite a continued ban from the federal government. Normal is urging citizens to contact Kansas House members to tell them to support medical marijuana. If you're live in Kansas and your representative happens to sit on the House Committee on Health and Human Services, it's especially important for them to hear from its citizens. Normal.org has made it easier than ever with a pre-written letter to be sent to your representatives by entering in your zip code on a form on their website. If you live in Kansas or have friends or relatives there, please ask them to help us in our support of Kansas patient rights.
You know, this is good news coming out of Kansas, especially because this bill retains the right to home grow. They can possess up to 12 cannabis plants, not including as many as 12 seedlings and or 6 ounces of marijuana. Compared to the medical marijuana statutes that have come up recently, this is a fairly liberal measure. Most of the measures have capped plant limits at, you know, 6 or lower, 7 or lower, and capped the possession limits at, say, you know, 2 ounces, 2.5 ounces. So this is a major breakthrough. If Kansas manages to keep that through the legislative process, keep that intact with 12 plants and 6 ounces, that's quite a good bill. Again, check out our CapWiz Center, which you can find from our blog at stash.normal.org. Also, if you're going to write to your legislators, whether they be in Kansas or anywhere, and you get a response from them, please send that in to us at stash@normal.org, and we'll add it to our collection that we call Politicians on Pot. It's an online database of all of these letters that they've ever written about their opinions on industrial hemp, medical marijuana, decriminalization, legalization. You can go to our blog at stash.normal.org. You can go to the search box and type in Kansas. You can find every story we ever had on Kansas. Right below that, you should find a box that says Politicians on Pot. You click that, you'll get the list of every letter that we've ever received, and you can find out how your politicians are responding to your will on the end of the war on drugs.
And legislation has also been reintroduced in the state of New York. Senate Bill 2774 has been introduced into the New York State Senate and referred to the Senate Committee on Health. If passed, it would allow qualified patients to possess up to 2.5 ounces of medical marijuana as long as it was obtained from a nonprofit facility that would be set up by the state to grow and distribute the medical marijuana. Like the bill that was passed in the neighboring state of New Jersey, the New York bill would not allow home cultivation. Also similar to the New Jersey law, patients would only qualify to use medical marijuana in the state if they have a life-threatening condition. Advocates in the Empire State are working hard to amend and expand those particular provisions in the legislative process to allow more access to deserving patients. The similar medical marijuana law that was passed in New Jersey and signed into law over a year ago has not been implemented due to the complexity of those restrictions. You can log on to normal.org for information to contact your state representatives to encourage them to support medical marijuana in New York State.
Yeah, this is the other side of the coin. What we're finding here in the states, in the East Coast mostly, as they're looking at passing medical marijuana bills, New York is not going to allow home grow, and it's got that, you know, medicine of last resort provision. Only life-threatening conditions. Only if you're going to die should you be allowed to smoke a joint. Yeah, we wouldn't want the arrests in New York City to go down or anything. But this is a pattern that we're starting to see. Maryland has introduced, New Hampshire has introduced a medical marijuana bill that once again would not allow home cultivation. Maryland has one as well, I think, that does not allow home cultivation. This seems to be the pattern that's going on right now, is these overly restrictive medical marijuana bills. And it kind of puts you in a bind because you got to say, you know, home cultivation is important and there should be more conditions. But on the other hand, how can you oppose a medical marijuana bill? Even if it only makes medical marijuana legal for one person, that's one less person, one less sick and disabled person being arrested, harassed, thrown in jail, and possibly killed over their use of medical marijuana. So we reluctantly support these bills because, yes, we want to protect people and to move reform forward, but not including home cultivation is a very, very troubling development.
And law enforcement in Washington State have seized a patient's cannabis-infused cooking oil after a traffic stop last month. The man was told that the cup of cooking oil was being tested and weighed to determine if it exceeded his possession limit of 24 ounces of dried marijuana. Forrest Amos says that he has endured ongoing harassment by police in his Washington town and also by the Washington State Patrol after the city of Chehalis denied a business application from him to open a medical marijuana dispensary. Earlier this year, Amos was pulled over in a traffic stop and was neither cited nor given a ticket, but they did confiscate his medical marijuana brownies, about an ounce of dried usable marijuana, and the cup of cooking oil, which was your basic type of vegetable cooking oil that had had about a half an ounce of marijuana soaking in it at one time, but was now just a cup of oil. At the Centralia City Council meeting last Tuesday, about 20 people showed up to voice their support for Amos. Centralia Police Chief Bob Berg said that the claim against Amos was, quote, pending because of a, quote, potential criminal element, that being that patients have a 24-ounce possession limit. Chief Berg said that the products that Amos was carrying had been sent to the Washington State Crime Lab in Vancouver for testing of THC. He said that depending on the analysis, he will decide if he can charge Amos after he consults with the prosecuting attorney's office. At the city council meeting, the council chose not to address Amos's complaint of police harassment, but they did agree to send a $400 damage claim he filed back on January 24th to the city's insurance pool for reimbursement of his marijuana. Some lawmakers in Washington state are working on bills currently that will clarify the state's medical marijuana laws, including distribution and cannabis-infused products.
Well, what a silly story this is, of course, because Washington's law specifies that patients can have dry, usable marijuana. And when you put it in cooking oil, I don't know how that remains dry. But this is the same problem that has plagued people when we're dealing with drugs, going all the way back to acid in the 60s. You used to be able to get acid on sugar cubes. And, of course, it only takes a few tiny micrograms to get you the trip that you want. But then the cops would bust the guys with the sugar cubes, weigh the entire weight of the sugar cube, time times however much, you know, the penalties were for LSD, and guys would go behind bars for life. It's the same concept here with marijuana. You make the plate of brownies, they weigh the whole plate of brownies and consider that against your limit. It's ridiculous. It's obviously contrary to what the intent of the law is here as far as limiting people with their medicine. But you know what's funny is this never seems to work in the opposite direction, right? If you take marijuana and put it in brownies and make it weigh more, they want to count the whole weight of the brownies. But if you take a whole bunch of marijuana and you compress it down and filter it down to hash or make hash oil out of it that weighs a whole lot less, oh no, no, now they want to charge you with a hashish felony. And it never seems to work in our favor. And this has got to change. And you know the story. The only way it's going to change is full legalization for everyone. That hash stuff, man, that always bugs me. It's like, yeah, we want to make brownies. No, we can't make brownies. No, you can't make hash. No, you can't have weed. We'll figure it all out.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
This is Normal Show Live.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, it's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, and they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning. It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey there, this is Cannabis Cure. You're listening to Electric Tuesday on Normal Show Live. Today's tune is an electronic track. Definitely isn't shy about speaking its mind. The artist is Katie, who studies political science at university, makes great and varied use of a range of digital sounds that add an extra dimension to the airwaves. Her manipulation of the samples make for great listening. I'm ready to light this one up straight away, so here's Smoke by Katie. Enjoy. Peace out. Thank you.
Copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From Friend's Closet Grow Room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Starfish Bazaar, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax...
Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We're old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service.
NARMAL stands for Reforming America's Prohibitionist Marijuana Laws, and that cannot happen without directly engaging our government and elected officials. Local NARMAL chapters and other affiliated activists relentlessly lobby our lawmakers for a change we can believe in and report on their strategies and progress in this segment we call Our Government at Work.
All right, we're going to take the opportunity to go all the way out to the middle of the Pacific Ocean, our 50th state, Hawaii, and we're visiting with Pam Lichty here. Pam, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Aloha.
Aloha to you. And you're representing, I believe it's Drug Policy Forum, or is it Foundation of Hawaii?
It's a Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii.
That's right.
We're original reform group. We've been in existence since 1993.
All right. Glad to hear it. And things are pretty exciting right now in Hawaii in that you've got a couple of bills at the legislature at my last count that have to do with marijuana law reform. Give our listeners a breakdown on what's happening there in the island state.
Yeah, well, actually, there were at least 17 bills introduced this year that had to do with cannabis. Some of them were hostile, but most of them were supportive, both of decriminalizing and also improvements to our medical cannabis law.
Excellent. So we got decriminalization, medical marijuana. We've found in the past that you've had troubles, though, getting past the governor, Linda Lingle. What's the situation now?
Well, now we have a new governor. We were one of the few states that went strongly Democratic last go-around. And our longtime congressman, Neil Abercrombie, is now governor. He's a liberal Democrat, and he's been pretty good on our issues. Although, like most Democrats, he's wary of getting too close to any of the cannabis issues.
So is this the election of the new governor and the incoming Democratic majority there, is that your belief as to why you've gotten so many bills on the table at this point?
Yeah, I think people have gotten energized. Governor Lingle vetoed a number of things in the past, including such innocuous measures as setting up a task force to study improvements to the medical cannabis program. So now people are feeling at least if they can get it through the legislature, we'll have a governor who'll sign it.
That is great news. And how is the program functioning right now in Hawaii as far as the medical marijuana program? Are there specific complaints to the island that we don't hear in other states?
Yeah, there's plenty. The biggie is that it's the only other state besides Vermont where it's with a law enforcement agency. It's and this was because in the year 2000, when the law was enacted, and we were the first state to do it through the legislative process, it was all so scary that they put it with the Narcotics Enforcement Division of the Department of Public Safety, who work hand in hand with the DEA, and they are the ones that issue prescriptive authorities to physicians. And so it's a very intimidating place for the program to be housed, and that caused a lot of problems, both in theory and in reality.
Mm. It must have been all of that wonderful medical training they got at the police academy that gave them those credentials, right?
Yeah, well, they seem to think not only are they doctors, but they're lawyers, too, because, I won't get into that. Anyway, one of the bills that is moving is to move the program from the Department of Public Safety to the Department of Health, where, you know, it's housed in most states that have a registry system. However, our governor's folks have not been real great on that issue so far. Mm-hmm. At all the hearings that there's been on that bill, the Department of Health has said they don't want it. One of the problems, Russ, is that it doesn't fit neatly into any of their pre-existing, you know, divisions or branches. In other states, it's all over the place. It's in vital statistics. It's in, I'm not even sure, communicable diseases, whatever. Yeah. But so they're reluctant to take it. And, of course, our state is totally broke like so many other states. And they're always concerned about the cost of changing anything.
Yeah, I know here in Oregon it's run by the Department of Human Services, which seems a better fit right. for something called medical marijuana, you know, Department of Health, medical. Gee, that would make sense. Why do you think these health people are just reluctant to it? Because it doesn't fit a nice bureaucratic niche, or do they have a philosophical objection to it?
Well, that's a really good question, and one we've been trying to get a handle on for a while. I used to work in the Department of Health, and I've been talking to some of my folks, people I know in the department, and I can't really get a straight answer. It seems like mostly a bureaucratic obstacle that people it's a hot-button issue, and they just don't want it. They don't need more problems. I think that's what it amounts to. Mm-hmm. So any support they may feel for it is offset by the fact that, you know, it comes with, from their perspective, a bunch of hassles. It also comes, by the way, with a $25 fee per person per year. We have 8,000 registered patients, which amounts to $200,000. So it's not like it's an unfunded mandate. They would be getting money along with the program to administer it.
Mm. Okay, so 8,000 patients, you say? Was that the number?
Yeah, mm-hmm. More or less.
And in your system there in Hawaii, how has the system been working for people as far as being able to access their cannabis medicine with regard to growing, cultivation, dispensing, and so on?
Well, that's a major problem. Our legislation does permit people to grow, but as your listeners, I'm sure, are aware of, that is not an easy thing, and especially for people who are ill or disabled or living in an apartment or living in federal housing, or somebody who has been diagnosed last week with cancer and has to start chemo this week. You know, mm-hmm. You can't just go out and grow a plant at the last minute. So there is some legislation moving to make changes to the program that patients have been asking for. Last year I co-chaired a working group on medical cannabis, and one of the bills that's moving would make a lot of changes to the program, like increasing the quantities that patients are allowed to have, up to 10 plants and 5 ounces per person. And now, or 5 ounces of, you know, usable material at any one time. It would also give them the right to exchange plants and seeds and clones with other patients. It would keep the location of their growth site confidential. Right now, it's right on their ID card. Mm. It would cover the issue of transport, which is a big problem here because we're an island state. So to go from county to county, you have to get on a plane. And I don't know if you've discussed that in the past on your show, but that's a difficult issue. It would also, right now we have a caregiver-to-patient ratio of only 1-to-1, which is extremely difficult. It's hard to find caregivers, people who know how to grow plants, people are willing to do this. And there are so many situations where a couple of the patients are living together, or even a bunch of them may be living together. So the original law of this session was to increase that to one caregiver could care for 4 patients, which is, you know, even so barely adequate. The latest version, they've reduced it to 3. But, you know, we've got a ways to go. Who knows what could happen.
All right. Well, we're speaking with Pam Lichty from the Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii, and we're looking at their medical marijuana bill, but also they've got a decriminalization bill. What are people facing in Hawaii as far as criminal penalties for marijuana possession if they're not medical patients?
Well, I want to do that, but I want to remember to talk about dispensaries for a minute.
Absolutely.
Finish with that. So right now it's a petty misdemeanor in Hawaii to have an ounce or less of marijuana. So on the one hand, it's no big deal, but on the other hand, we're spending more than $4 million a year in court costs and law enforcement costs to get a slap on the hand to people. And settling them on the criminal record. That's the biggie from our point of view.
So they call it petty misdemeanor, but it's still a criminal misdemeanor. It goes on your record. You still have all the problems of the arrest and so on.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, on the one hand, we're not the harshest state in terms of penalty, but we are wasting all these resources. And, you know, the best that law enforcement can come up with is, well, sending the wrong message to kids. And, you know, they're pretty inept. Encouragingly, though, our only daily paper here just had a very strong editorial in favor of decriminalizing this year. And, you know, so that's really encouraging. That was just last week. And many of us feel that, you know, legalization is the answer. But unfortunately, at this time, in this place, that's not going to go.
Right. Well, let's go back to the topic of dispensaries that you wanted to talk about and getting medicine to the patients. What's happening there?
Well, right now we have no dispensaries. There have been a few underground ones that have been busts associated with one of them on Maui. But there's nothing above board. So there is a measure that's moving to a dispensary system. It's based on Colorado, for good or for ill. I'm not real enthusiastic about their model. I feel like it's awfully highly regulated. However, that's in the hopper, and it is moving, and there have been some very positive hearings on that. So we're waiting to see where that goes. Again, that's been the Senate is more liberal than the House here and more open to these things. And last year, a version of a dispensary bill passed the Senate but not the House. Same thing with the decrim bill. So we're hopeful that something will happen this year, again, because we have a governor who would sign it if it were set into place. But the police on at least two of the other islands, Maui and Kauai, are already starting to stir the pot. Oh, sorry. You there?
Yes, still here.
Yeah, they're having rallies on Kauai to oppose the bills that I've been talking about. And on Maui, the police, who tell us all the time that they don't lobby, are handing out flyers urging the public to oppose these bills. So this is what happened last year when it looked like something might happen. The cops, the prosecutors, some of the anti-drug groups got into gear and started working against it. And I'm afraid that did succeed in the House anyway on undermining our efforts.
That's a shame. Now, we want to get people involved out there in Hawaii that are listening to us on the show, either live or through podcast download. So how can people get involved in helping to pass these reform laws?
Well, I know that NORML has been putting out alerts, and some of your rival organizations have as well. And they could go to, if they're interested, they could sign up on our website for our email list where we issue legislative alerts and so forth. The best bet is just to go to our website, Russ, and that's DPFHI, Drug Policy Forum Hawaii.org. And on there, under contact, you'll see a way to sign up for our email discussion. Like a lot of websites, it's a little lagging behind in terms of being updated because we're too busy putting out fires.
Oh, yeah.
But there is information there about the program, the medical cannabis program, about decrim efforts and so forth.
All right. Well, I encourage everyone to check out dpfhi.org, Drug Policy Forum Hawaii. Pam Lichty has been our guest and always a joy to have you here on the show. Thanks for calling in from Hawaii. We appreciate it. And good luck in 2011.
Thanks so much, Russ. Hope to report back with really good news in a few months.
Excellent.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations.
While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
Legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they will keep no malice.
The healing of marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say.
Free the marijuana.
Hear me, hear me, hear me, say.
Free the marijuana.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
We begin our rant today with a quote from that great American philosopher, Trace Adkins, who said, "All hat, no cattle. That boy just ain't real. All boots and no saddle. Don't know how to make a cowgirl feel. Think I'm going to tell him to pack up his act and go back where he came from, because all hat, no cattle ain't gonna get it done." And I do this in recall of President Obama, who was asked by a member of LEAP just last week, I believe it was, a couple weeks ago, and asked by a member of LEAP about legalization. Of course, the big part of this quote that everyone took away was when he said, "Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate." Boom, there's the takeaway from that. But the other parts of this quote, I think, deserve some mention. He also had mentioned he's not in favor of legalization. This is President Obama. "I am a strong believer that we need to think more about drugs as a public health problem." He continued on a little farther in the answer. "On drugs, we have been so focused on arrests and incarceration and interdiction that we don't spend as much time thinking about how we can shrink demand." When the moderator asks if he has any ideas, President Obama says, "Some of this requires shifting resources. Is there some way for us to shrink demand? Like a drug treatment program. How do we get resources on that end of it without automatically resorting to incarceration? These are all issues that are worth exploring and worth a serious debate." So from President Obama, the message that I got from that LEAP answer was that he believes that we need to treat this more like a public health problem, shift our resources toward treatment and away from incarceration. Well, folks, the budget request for 2012 is in, and now the figures can be told. Treatment or incarceration from the Obama administration? How has he changed this budget? Well, let's take a look at the numbers. According to the fiscal year 2012 federal drug control spending by function, budget authority in millions, treatment will be given $8.8 billion back in 2010. It was given $8.9 billion in 2011, and it's being given $8.9 billion in 2012. The total increase in the funding of treatment from 2010 to 2012 increased by 1.1%. Meanwhile, domestic law enforcement, which totaled $9.1 billion in 2010, $9 billion in 2011, and $9.5 billion in 2012, That's an increase of $314 million, or 3.4%. Interdiction, you know, ripping up plants and catching the bad guys, supposedly, back in 2010 was $3.6 billion. In 2011, $3.7 billion. In 2012, $3.9 billion, an increase of $243 million, or 6.6%. So while treatment has gone up 1.1% in the Obama budget, law enforcement up 3.4, interdiction up 6.6. But to be completely fair, let's break this down and put all of these figures together and compare them directly here. The total, if you combine all the line items of treatment and prevention in the federal drug budget in 2010, was 40.3%. In 2012, it's 40.7%. That's right, a shift of 0.4% in the $25 billion drug control budget. 0.4% shift. So I guess, technically speaking, Mr. Obama has shifted the federal drug control budget just a little bit toward treatment and away from incarceration by 0.4%. Now, at this rate, I did the calculation, at this rate, it'll be until 2036 before they're equal, before treatment and incarceration are equal in this federal drug control budget. So, Mr. Obama, I'm going back to Trace Adkins there and saying that your pronouncements here are all hat, no cattle. You talk a good game, sir, about making this public health and treating it like a public health issue and not focusing so much on arrest and interdiction, but money talks and BS walks, my man. And what we're seeing here from this budget is just more of the same. The same budget we brought out in 2010 that had this 3-to-2 ratio of incarceration versus treatment. Back in 2008, same ratio, 3-to-2 of that $25 billion drug war budget. And it's not just you, Mr. Obama. I shouldn't be picking on you so much. We've seen the same thing from your predecessor, George W. Bush. We saw the same thing from his predecessor, Bill Clinton, a continuance of federal drug control strategy going back four decades now that favors incarceration over treatment. We see this in the amounts of arrests that we have in this country. We just did the story earlier this week on New York City for the sixth year in a row, setting a record in number of people arrested for marijuana violations, over 50,000 people. In fact, the number one thing you're most likely to get arrested for in New York City is a marijuana violation. It tops all other arrests in New York City. We see this in the racial disparities in Baltimore, in Philadelphia, in the 25 largest counties in Los Angeles, where blacks and Latinos are arrested at far greater rates than their white counterparts, despite the fact their white counterparts, three out of four of them are the tokers. Of all the people who've ever smoked marijuana, three out of four are white guys like me, but when it comes to who's doing time for it, three out of four are not white guys like me. And this has got to stop. It's time to start putting our budget dollars where they're most necessary. And that is in treatment dollars for people addicted to chemically addictive, strong narcotic drugs. And not just the illegal ones like the heroin, the cocaine, and meth, but also the fastest growing addiction segment out there, the legal drugs, OxyContin, Dilaudid, Vicodin, these type of nasty synthetic types of heroin that are out there. But every time somebody needs a bed at a resource center, they've got to compete with the marijuana rehabbers who are there, who are sentenced there by a drug court. This is something Mr. Obama said in his answer to the LEAP question as well. He said, quote, "Well, if you're trying to kick a habit and somebody says come back in 6 months, that's pretty discouraging." Yeah, and they're having to tell you to come back in 6 months because the beds are filled up with non-violent, non-addicted marijuana smokers who just happen to get caught. And in our society today, getting caught with marijuana by itself, per se, is the definition of a drug problem. My gosh, you were caught with marijuana. You have a drug problem. We've got to put you in rehab. Well, the fact is that there are plenty of people using marijuana out there, myself included, 2.5 million adults over the age of 18 in this country, who are using marijuana every day. Every damn day, 2.5 million of us are smoking marijuana. You cannot convince me there are 2.5 million criminals daily criminals in this country. We're talking 14, 15 million people that will use it monthly, 25 million people that will use it annually in this country. And again, all adults above the age of 18, all ready to vote, all able to smoke tobacco until their lungs rot, legally able to sign up to go to Iraq or Afghanistan and pack a rifle for Uncle Sam, and yet we don't trust him with a joint. The World Health Organization just came out and said there's 162 million cannabis consumers on the planet. There cannot really be 162 million people that we consider criminals just for using a plant. Really? Is that what we've come down to? And the most disturbing part of this to me is I know, Mr. Obama, deep in your heart, you don't really believe this stuff. You don't believe this drug war stuff. You said it not 4 or 5 years ago that the war on drugs is an utter failure and we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws. What happened to that guy? What happened to the guy who knew the common sense here, who had been there, who had been the young man who had smoked and sold marijuana, who had used and sold cocaine, who knew that the problem with the drug laws are the drug laws prohibition of these activities, not necessarily the activities themselves? The prohibition causes much greater harms. Where is that guy? And why isn't that guy helping to shape a budget that he knows would be more effective by shifting, truly shifting away from arrest and interdiction and moving back to treatment and prevention? So many political things involved here, too. We're talking about burn grants, these grants that go to state and local law enforcement agencies that come out of this drug war budget. Part of that interdiction part of that budget are these grants that go out to these state and local agencies. The more people they arrest on drug charges, the bigger grants they get. And just like any bureaucracy, they're always fighting to increase their budget. And they're increasing that budget on the backs of responsible, hardworking adult cannabis consumers, picking them up, on arrests, just because they smell weed on them or they detect weed on them, when really they're not causing that much problem for anybody else around them. Just behaving themselves just like most average alcohol drinkers would. And yet we're using them as grist in the mill here and continuing this ridiculous budget, this federal budget tilted toward incarceration. It's the drug war industrial complex. It's the drug employment agency. It's all about keeping those dollars flowing to law enforcement so those cops will have plenty to do. Meanwhile, the clearance rate on murders is somewhere around 61% in most American cities, if you're lucky. That is, only 6 out of 10 murders actually get solved or anybody's ever arrested for them. You know, I did a story on Pinal County, Arizona, where the sheriff down there is talking about, we don't really go out of our way to arrest marijuana consumers. And meanwhile, I looked up his statistics, and there was 595 arrests in that one Arizona county just for marijuana last year. Meanwhile, there was less than 200 arrests for, you know, domestic assaults or DWIs or any things that we would truly consider crimes. When I worked out the math on it, even if each arrest in Pinal County, Arizona cost 1 hour of officers' time, that works out to 14.825 weeks worth of officer time spent on marijuana arrests, from the booking, the fingerprinting. It's a racket, folks. Just like all wars are a racket, it's all about the money. It's all about keeping these law enforcers in business and keeping these prisons full and keeping these private shareholders and these prison corporations earning a buck. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of tired of you and me and John and all the rest of the good, honest, hardworking adults that I know who just prefer to relax with marijuana instead of beer, being treated like second-class, third-class citizens in this country merely for our intelligent choice of the safer alternative. It's got to stop. This budget's just another sign that the people at the top aren't going to do it for us. We've got to do it together. We've got to make this a grassroots movement. We've got to take inspiration from the people of Tunisia, the people of Egypt, and rise up. It's time to make our voices heard and no longer ignored in this country. And it's happening. I feel the groundswell building for this. And I want to encourage you to get involved. Get involved with your local chapter of Normal. You can find them at normal.org/chapters. If you don't have a local chapter, send me an email, stash@normal.org. I'll help you form a chapter. If Normal's not your thing, maybe you're a medical guy, you want to do just medical marijuana, join Americans for Safe Access. If you're a former law enforcer, join LEAP. If you're more of a policy wonk, go to MPP. I don't care what initials are behind your name. As long as we're all on the same side of this battle, fighting for more freedom, more liberty for our people, cognitive liberty, the right to the pursuit of happiness that was guaranteed to us in our Declaration of Independence and given to us by our Creator, an inalienable right that has been alienated by our own federal government. It's time to end it. Join with us. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for listening. Normal show live here for Ganja John and Cannabis Carrie. We'll be back with Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. Stay tuned for it. For those of you on the podcast, thanks for the download. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.